Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in today. This is Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We're here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So welcome to your Monday. If you listened to Hour 1, you heard a very spirited conversation from Alex Early about how to have engaging conversations and how to help new believers. And there is like 560,000 new believers every day or something like that. It's a huge number. I got to check my facts. I don't have my sheet up right now, but I think it's about 56 new believers every minute, every day. So that's a good thing. So the family of God is growing, and there's lots of new people in the family of God. How do we talk to them, and how do we guide them, lead them, and encourage them in the Lord? That new book is almost out, I believe, and it's a great book. So check that out. My second hour today, I have in studio Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina. And we're going to talk today about conflict without combat. Does that happen in your world? Does that happen in your life where you get involved in conflict and it turns into combat? Because instead of maybe attacking the problem, you're attacking each other. And all of a sudden that becomes very destructive and very bad hurt feelings. And what do we do? And how can we be better at having conflict? Because everyone has conflict. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And when it happens, how is the conflict brought up? That's one of the key ingredients. Do you do it as the light's going off at night and you stir up all this kind of anger and agitation? The timing of stuff is important. And so here in studio to talk about all that kind of stuff, Todd Mullican. He's been a guest on the show before. Todd, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
You're
to be here.
You're so welcome. Thanks, Susie, because you know what's for sure. But the whole idea of conflict, which is something we're all going to deal with, it's going to happen. How do we do it constructively, lovingly, with God's grace, and not let it evolve into combat?
Wow.
Big question.
That's a big question.
I will hang up and let you talk. You're on your own, pal.
Well, without putting people into boxes, I think sometimes it's good to look at how God has made each of us uniquely,
mm-hmm.
and what's our style, what are our tendencies in conflict, what have we noticed about that through our story, well, how have we handled that growing up, how are we handling that now, irregardless of where, you know, what kind of situation we're in, how are we handling it, what do we notice about that? So praying initially just for awareness for God to bring that to us so we don't have to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to win, and we don't have to run.
Mm-hmm.
Because in conflicts, that's oftentimes what happens is when the fighters out there want to win and the flighters want to run.
Mm.
And more often than not, we have a tendency to be one or the other.
So you are either a fighter or a flighter.
Right.
Okay.
And in general.
And both involve adrenaline, don't they?
They do.
And this and beautiful thing called
cortisol dumping
yes.
out into our...
Spiking
yes.
all kinds of emotions.
Yes. We are going to have physiological reactions.
Okay.
Whether our upbringing was 18 years of kumbaya
mm-hmm.
or a lot of toxicity,
having right.
an alcoholic parent, having
yep.
an abusive parent. So almost irregardless of our stories, we have a vulnerability under stress. It's
mm-hmm.
really hard to do that well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's helpful first to know what do I notice about my tendencies under stress
mm-hmm.
and in conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good place to start.
All right. Let's start with what is it like when conflict happens? And I read a book, a research by John Gottman, who said it's not conflict, it's the way in which it's brought up.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the big linchpin. If it's brought up well, it can be discussed in a safe arena. If it's not brought up well, it could fall apart real fast. But if you walk on eggshells in a relationship, you never know when to bring it up. And you're just bursting inside wanting to get it off your chest. Usually comes out at the wrong time.
Boy, so much there. The first principle I talk about is speak without offending.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to lead out in conflict with our spouse or our daughter or our son or our parent or friend, let me try to lead out well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try to speak interactively versus interrogatively.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to say how I felt about what happened and then ask them how they view it. So I'm going to be at my best in Christ by trying to set the table well. And you said before I came on something about the timing. I try to have no couples do that after, 10 or 11 at
mm-hmm.
night. Usually in most marriages, there's one lark and one owl. A lark is getting going at 5 in the morning, and the owl is just getting going at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
So they have different styles, different tendencies. So know the right time. But also, it has to be, the attitude needs to be there for both people.
Mm-hmm.
But James talks so well in the whole book about taming the tongue, about what's the motivation there, brothers and sisters, with your quarrels.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's all about the attitude I bring towards the situation on my side of it. But to be frank with you, too, we could have the very best intentions. And do everything Gottman says and other national researchers, but
mm-hmm.
still by the time it gets from your mouth to your friend's brain, it may have a totally different reaction than we had expected.
Mm-hmm.
So we also have to make sure that we're not being controlled by the other person's reaction. And that's where the people pleaser codependent type tends to do that sidebar with themselves. They say, well, if I say it now, then it probably won't go well. If I tried it last week and that didn't go so well. So when do I do this? And they end up having these fear-based discussions, very normal to have,
mm-hmm.
especially if they had a parent growing up that wasn't real inviting with interactions. Their mind's used to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They just have that dialogue already set in place.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to get to a place where they're not as frightened about how it's going to go and just do what I call inside-out work, where boy, as far as I can tell, I'm in the presence of the Spirit here, and my motivation is healthy. I'm going to throw it out in a loving way, and let's see what God brings.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's the best we can do when we're leading out.
Okay. I want to get back to that, but when I think of creating an environment where the chances of succeeding are better,
yeah.
I would almost think of it as a safe arena, because if someone is in the middle of something stressful and somebody comes in and makes
piles it on. Right.
That's not going to work for
sure.
me. And so is there value or am I just wishful thinking to say maybe you've got a walk around the block every night, every evening that you've planned where you hold hands and talk. And that's going to be your time zone, your arena where it's going to feel safe.
Yeah, I think
is that wishful thinking?
Well, I think what you're saying is so great is the preparation, is the motive, is the intentionality, is the couple or the family or the whoever we're talking about ahead of time. They have that awareness, like I talked to you earlier about. They have an awareness that the last 340 of these didn't go so well.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to see if we can create a new story here, a new narrative,
mm-hmm.
and let's be at our best in Christ. Let's pray it up and let's be at our best. So the next time we do that on our walk on Sundays, I'm going to bring my best to speak without offending. And the second goal is try to listen without defending.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the very important volleys that both people are trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, timing matters. Yes, practicality matters. But to your point, some people are much more they're much more in the moment kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like to have a plan. Some people don't know what day it is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's hard to merge that. So in a perfect world, what's happening is the couple or the family knows they have an issue in this area. They've talked about that, and next time this happens, they're going to try to implement these kinds of ideas. And
mm-hmm.
then you usually see a bump. You usually see some healing there. You see it happen better. And if you don't, then usually it's a sign that one person has, untreated narcissism or untreated borderline personality disorder or some type of pretty significant illness that just, trumps their ability to act reasonably
mm-hmm.
in any situation
mm-hmm.
under stress.
Would you say that it's the presence of small, more trivial things that starts to divide couples?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems that people can survive the big things better than they can handle the little things. Now, if I want to talk to you about the way you slurp your iced tea, and it really bugs me, the way you slurp that iced tea, how do I say that without turning the conflict into a combat.
Yeah.
Because that's really how I feel. You slurp your iced tea, knock it off.
Yeah. Right.
It's driving me crazy.
Sure. And so I'll say,
so how do I say it?
So, yeah, it's all about assertiveness training. We learned that back in, you know, grad school. How are we trying to say how we feel and what we need? You know, so we share a feeling and we make a request. Hey, I feel a little bit frustrated or annoyed when you're slurping. It would be helpful if you didn't do that next time. I love you. I love you. You know, just, you know, we're going to do it. We're sharing a feeling and making a request.
Mm-hmm.
I think the issue comes up, Bill, more is all we doing is looking for the next fight? Or are we living in kind of what I call this 5-to-1 world, where we're trying to do 5 affirmations for every conflict?
Mm-hmm.
Or we're trying to lead out with what we're for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but if all the couple's doing, sometimes in counseling, you know, in counseling we learn how to talk honestly with each other, so that what we don't want to have happen is a couple go home after every counseling session and talk about the 325 things that really bug each other. You know, and we have, well, we're supposed to be honest with each other.
Yeah.
Well, all we're doing is nickel and diming each other today.
Right, right, right.
So I think there's that balance of, are we having God's eyes and letting some of the small stuff go?
Uh-huh.
But do we also feel free enough to just, God, we got a safe enough environment where we can volley and about the iced tea, about the slurping of the tea.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what you find is that, you know, and that's why I think most people have a harder time listening without being defensive. Most people, you know, if you're, in my opinion at least, if you're pretty content with yourself, then you won't mind hearing occasionally something that bothers you, you know, or bothers your partner about you, you know. But if all we're doing is talking about that, then nobody does well with that anyway.
Mm-hmm. So speak without being offensive, listen without being defensive. And if you can start the conversation that way, with that as the ground rules, you can actually probably do pretty well.
You really can, because then you're coming in with just a better attitude. You're full of truth, full of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be, the skies aren't going to part, and we're not going to sing the Hallelujah Chorus, but we're going to at least, you know, have a discussion, and that is not easy, but in case we just forget, you know, the gospel is full of tough discussions, full of things where Jesus had a lot of hard discussions. So it's okay that we have some disagreements. And then we get to my third principle, which is sometimes agreeing to disagree. You want it 72 degrees, I want it 68. Well, put it at 70 and everybody be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes we have to learn how to agree to disagree about things.
Right. So that way you can both be miserable.
Hopefully not.
Okay.
But
definitely want to open up the phone lines if you have a question for Todd about having conflict and then having it not evolve into combat. Give us a call at 1-877-933-2484. The number again, 1-877-933-2484. We'll take a little break. We'll come back. Lots more with Todd Mullican. You're listening to Live the Promise. And this is Bill Arnold sitting in for Susie. He'll be right back. Conflict without combat. Wouldn't that be nice if you could always just have conflict resolution and there's no really hurt feelings? Or, you know, what happens when you get in a discussion or an argument? Does it sink your day or can you rebound? What's that like, Todd? What happens when you have this conflict and maybe it's gotten ugly?
Sure.
And you go, okay, that's just ruined my day. How do you rebound?
I think it helps if we go to the fourth principle. The third principle is agreeing to disagree sometimes, not always being wishy-washy, but sometimes we're, my wife and I, after 28 years of marriage and our girls are in their 20s, we still might not perfectly agree about how we parented them every single time. That's okay. We're not always going to agree.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be weird if we did.
Mm-hmm.
The only couples where they always agree is somebody saying yes, dear, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not always going to agree. So then the idea would be is, through the conflict, how do we do with step 4, which is after it's over, own our own part. You know, officially when we're in the fight or flight zone, there's probably enough blame to go around. And if there were hurt feelings unintentionally most of the time the intention is not to hurt, unless we've got buried stuff that we're just, you know, bringing up resentments from the last 25 years or something. But most of the times in those garden variety conflicts. So the intention is, we're not saying, you know, I think what I'm going to do today is hurt my partner these three times over these three conflicts. You know, we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, hopefully we believe the best about each other. And if we believe the best about each other and we have a disagreement, hopefully we can just say, you know, that part's on me. I know for those words, I'm sorry. And rebound from that so we're not defined by that moment, but we learn from that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to have families and couples be defined by their best days, not their worst moments.
Mm. All right. Now, Todd, you said the words, I am sorry. Well, what about if that's not on anyone's tongue in a certain relationship? And that's really what you need to hear more than anything, and you're probably not going to get it.
Yeah, I think if the truth, I always say, what's the truth? So if the truth is that in that particular relationship, one person is generally owning their side of the street and the other one never does, we have an issue. We have an issue, and that's got to be addressed. My general experience is that the person that has a hard time saying they're sorry usually never heard it growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the parent overreacted, they never owned that. So the young child is now a big person. And why would they say they're sorry?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never heard it. I'm not going to say it now.
Mm-hmm.
They were bullied. Now they're bullying. So that needs to be confronted and at least say, you know, boy, you know, I'm not keeping score here. I'm not just saying I'm sorry to cover my tracks. I really authentically believe in remorse. And, you know, it's important for me that sometimes you own your side of the street, too.
Mm-hmm.
And try to have that honest discussion.
Mm-hmm. Because all of this comes from childhood, doesn't it? If they grew up in a house where I'm sorry was never heard from parents or, you know, most of the time, you know, that's, you don't hear that.
No, you don't. And it's not modeled.
It's not modeled. So, that's my point.
Yeah, most of the times the conflicts aren't, even it's not, it's less about resolution. It's more about just being able to process a discussion. We might still not agree, but are we able to model together how we just are having a loving discussion that we might see eye to eye on, we might not. You know, still at the end of the day, the other person might think you're a little bit overreactive about the slurping thing.
Mm-hmm.
But still, they were able to receive it because they got, you know, they're big enough to receive that and say, hey, that wasn't my intention. You know, it's too bad that bothered you. Or if it was something significant, I'm really sorry that it bothered you. So I think the I'm sorry shouldn't be like, I'm sorry out of fear and guilt.
Right. Panic almost.
Right. It's more of an anxiety issue, and you see that sometimes with obsessive-compulsive folks. But it's more about an authentic, yeah, you know, for those words, that's on me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gets us – then we can go out and play in the sandbox after that. If both people look at their own side, then we can get to the better stuff quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And what most people do, though, when we're hurt, hurt people hurt people. So instead what we do is we tend to look and build our case. You know, we build our case about what they did to us instead of building our case about what part did I have in this.
Mm-hmm. What about if I'm willing to say I'm sorry, but then I want to go pout?
Yeah.
I mean, you bring up, we'll head back to the sandbox and play, and that sounds like they lived happily ever after.
Well, at least happily for a while. Hopefully,
so,
yeah. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, so if the truth, if it, you know, again, nobody's amazing at this. So if there's anybody that tells you that they're amazing at it, they're lying. Okay, so it's hard to do this well. But the thought would be is you've owned your part, and maybe it's okay to maybe process for a little bit, and hopefully that doesn't involve pouting. But you're just, hey, you just got an electric shock. You know, that stimulated you. It was hard. So hey, hon, I love you. I just need a few minutes to walk around the block. I'm good, but I'm, you know, a little rattled by what we talked to each other about. I receive your apology, and I shared mine. I just need a few minutes. I'll be okay. And then that other person needs to be okay with that person taking their time to walk. You know, so everybody has different ways of letting it go and getting over it. But I really work with couples and families. Of course, if there's abuse, adultery, addiction, then we got to work on those big deals. But if we're in the garden variety conflict land, we need to not be defined by our conflicts but learn from them.
Mm-hmm. So conflict is obviously very healthy for relationships. It's obviously something that we do to grow. Otherwise, we've got, you know, nothing really. So we have to welcome it into our lives but have to find a way to do it in which we can have good come as a result of it.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think I love the way you said that. I mean, I think if more, especially those that are more conflict avoidant, more of the flighters, if they said, you know, it's okay to have a few conflicts a day. It's okay. Deep breath. you know, pray it up, bring God into the story. It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really probably hadn't been okay the previous several hundred of those they've had in their life.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be okay if they're in a trusting, safe situation, though.
Okay, let's say that the conflict has now gone into combat. So now, instead of having conflict, we have started, I don't know, not name-calling, but we've gotten into combat. We've started to say some really ugly things.
Mm.
We've pulled out the heavy arsenal.
Artillery,
yeah. Then what's the best route to start that repair process?
Yeah, oftentimes when I talk about it being, if a couple gets to the top of Anger Mountain, and usually fighters get there pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
They get in their car and they drive really fast.
They have condos up there.
They live up there. They got a nice place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then they come right back down after they ran everybody over with a truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel better. Well, everybody else is obliterated, but they feel better.
Right.
So, and then not intentionally. They're not trying to.
Really?
Yeah. Come on. You know,
really?
Most of the time.
Okay.
Right. So then the pleaser type, they take about 400 years to get to the top of Anger Mountain.
Right.
But once they're there,
oof.
Right, we could be there for a generation. So it's really important for the fighter to learn how to fight fair.
Yeah.
And it's important for the flighter to learn how to have a voice.
Yeah. We're talking to Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina. We're talking about conflict that doesn't turn into combat. If you have a question for us, give us a call, 1-877-933-2484. You're listening to Live the Promise. This is Bill Arnold in for Susie, and we've got, I think we've got time to take a couple calls. So if you've got a question for Todd, definitely give us a call. So Todd, when we have this conflict and we feel bad and maybe we're feeling like we're pouting, we should get away and get alone with God first, shouldn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't our restoration first happen here?
Yeah, in a perfect world, the fighter is looking at their process and realizing, God, my words really hurt. Proverbs 29:11 says, don't give full vent to your anger.
Mm-hmm.
So the fighter needs to learn how to regulate the emotions they're having and work with the Holy Spirit on how am I regulating this
mm-hmm.
versus getting to the top of Anger Mountain too quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then the flighter, when they're busy building a Fort Knox pity party area, they have to make sure they're not just crying in their soup. They've got to make sure that they go to God and say, hey, you know, I've got to work on forgiveness. I've got to work on having my voice. I've got to work on speaking my truth. And give me the power, give me the contentment just to be true about my feelings with this family member, with this person I care about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think each person needs to bring the Spirit in for different discernment and different ideas.
Well, after the break, I want to talk about varying degrees of infractions when there's been big betrayal, small betrayal, mm-hmm. And then how we deal with that mm-hmm. because that might turn into combat. We might skip the conflict and go right to combat
yeah.
because the conflict is already quite evident. So I see some callers are already jumping on the line, but we will take a little break, and when we come back, lots more with Todd Mullican. You're listening to Live the Promise. We'll try it now this time around as we go to break. This is Bill Arnold sitting in for Susie, and I won't mess up this time. Matt, go ahead. Let's go. Welcome back to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie. Talking to Todd Mullican. You know, Todd, I have a stubborn streak that I'm really determined to get rid of. Don't even try to talk me out of it.
I promise I won't.
Promise you won't?
No.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time, do we?
Oh, good, good. Yeah. We're talking about conflict that hopefully doesn't turn into combat and how to do that. And I've actually got a caller on the line from Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
You have a question for Todd.
Yeah, I was just wondering, I have probably gotten to a point in my marriage that I am probably holding on to a lot of bitterness. I'm the pleaser type, and I don't probably speak up enough. And it's gotten to a point where I find myself really not wanting to be in my marriage, but I really want it to work. And I've tried to say some things recently, and it's just not helping, and it's not going anywhere. And I guess I'm just curious what your advice would be.
That's a great question. So sorry you're going through that. And I think you started it, though, by having some honest conversations. And as you found, a lot of times they, quote unquote, don't go well. It feels to me like the next step would be then talk about that. You know, does that make sense? Where, you know, honey, I battle about being in a marriage or not. I'm really struggling. I have some bitterness, and I've tried to talk about it, and it hasn't gone well. And I really do need to discuss that with you. You know, so it's kind of a revisiting of what you have already discussed. And, you know, sometimes it helps to tee it up like that. And if it doesn't go well again, you know, then sometimes, you know, we have to broach the idea of counseling or talking to a pastor together who can then, or somebody that you trust as a couple well, or your husband might feel safe enough to take that first step. And then that pastor type can refer you to a counselor. But I would continue to have your voice, you know, and continue to speak your truths and not to be discouraged by that, because usually the more your truth comes out, that does make the more direct spouse eventually hear that. So I would invite you to not lose hope with that and be encouraged that you've understood the issue of bitterness and you're trying to get rid of that.
Okay, great. Thank you. That helps.
I'm so glad. Thank you for calling. And Todd, that was an excellent answer. I got to be honest.
Well, thank you.
That was really good. Let's talk about big ticket items. Let's talk about certain betrayals and things that someone's going to be mad, and that's for good reason. Mm-hmm. So let's skip the conflict and go right to the combat, because I am flooded. Am I mad?
So when we're at that place where, and sometimes couples get there, Bill, more often than not, where, again, the hurting continues, their patterns continue, and all of a sudden they find themselves almost in a place of recovery, you know, where they are feeling really betrayed by the hurt and shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
And the fighter is regularly picking, and the flighter is, you know, quiet for a mm-hmm. long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I try to help the couple identify that really they're in recovery from their hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to get on the horse that is all about things like having remorse for the bitterness that we've held, having remorse for the words that hurt, choosing to give each other reassurance as the second R, that we're working on this together, that we're not perfect people, and that we yield to the Spirit, that we have a problem. And then we're working on, over time, choosing to trust that we're going to do this better together and choosing to forgive the past. Sounds very formulaic, I apologize, but just I think couples need something to grab onto when they're in the recovery
mm-hmm.
section of life, if you will.
Todd, I had a guest on, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. He said the male brain has 6 times more gray matter, mm-hmm. and it's really due to physical size of a man. Mm-hmm. But a woman has 10 times more white matter, which mm-hmm. is that's the ability for a woman's brain to connect all the dots.
Sure.
To make all the references, to keep stuff going.
Waffles versus spaghetti.
Exactly.
About,
so
yeah. mm-hmm. sure.
When men get quiet, like this caller said, I've tried to express
yes.
My feelings and it doesn't go well, I think... Well, I wonder if the guy just feels like he's already outgunned right from the get-go. Like,
yep.
I can't play on this level.
Right.
You know, I'm on the Bantams and this person's in the NHL. So
yes.
How do I do this? I can't skate on the same sheet of ice. So
right.
you just go away.
Yeah. They shut down and they go into that waffle compartment and there they sit.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually they do have to come out to play, and eventually so again, what we tell the guys is don't worry about saying it right. Don't worry about winning. Just worry about having, you know, a time to speak your truth. And don't worry about how it's said, especially if they're more of a passive type. Because guys that have this, you know, the white matter stuff and they have a lot of these compartments, if they're very controlling, they still have to watch their words.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I get what you're saying, that they don't make the connections as much and they shut down more likely, and I get that. It's very true. So the woman needs to understand that, but the guy also needs eventually to come out to play. He
mm-hmm.
can't stay in that place forever.
Mm-hmm.
So the advice to the guy is try not to worry about how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just get out there and don't worry about winning or running. Just stay in it.
Yeah, but aren't guys kind of rules obsessed? I mean, we don't want to get in a pick-up basketball game at the health club unless there are rules in place. Because
mm-hmm.
we want to know what the rules are.
Yeah.
And when you get into a conversation or a conflict and there's no rules, you don't want to participate.
Yeah. Those are all things that eventually the married man does that makes him play not to lose. And when he's courting, he doesn't do any of that.
Right.
When he's courting, he's playing to win. He's not overthinking anything. He just can't. So he has to get back to that mindset of pursuing his wife. Women respond when they feel noticed, when they feel secure, when, you know, not that they feel insecure all the time, but they feel secure about their marriage when the guy is on the offense more.
Mm-hmm.
So in conflict, it's very important that a guy says, "Hey, I have no idea what I'm doing right now, but I'm here and I love you." And that's going to be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not good enough, then it's usually there's resentment going on. So it's not about having this perfect conversation, Bill. It's more about the attitudinal mindset we bring in to the understanding. And I always tell couples, boy, you know, just promote empathy in those moments.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
So that means the guy needs to understand, hey, the woman loves to have the spaghetti going. They love the connections. Mm-hmm. So understand that. She's not trying to box you in. She's not trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
She's emoting. And as she's emoting, she's actually clarifying.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy might think she's from another universe, but she's clarifying for her. And understand that about her ahead of time. So bring that empathy to the situation. And then the woman needs to bring the empathy. Hey, the guy isn't in his waffle compartment because he's manipulating you.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes people are if they're narcissistic and have personality disorders. But most of the people, they're just – most of the time the guy just doesn't know what to do.
Right.
And so if the woman knows that, then she can try to be gentle about her approach too. And then we're more at our best in Christ to have a reasonable discussion, agree to disagree, speak without offending, listen without defending.
Mm-hmm. Okay, man or woman, how do you stay present in the moment that is getting stressful and I'm a flighter. I want to go.
Yeah.
How do you stay present when the conflict is getting difficult and he's shutting down, you're feeling hurt, or vice versa, and you just want this thing to end?
You know, I don't know. Did you check out the Ryder Cup at all when I was here?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? Okay.
No.
You didn't like being a part of 40,000 people?
No, I didn't.
No. Anyway,
yeah.
So and you look at those people when they're on the first tee, you know, and they're all, you know, the crowd's going crazy. But most of the people on the first tee, before they hit the ball, they kind of deep breath, relaxed, visualized how they want the shot to go, and then they crush it, you know.
They made no mistakes yet.
Right. Exactly.
Perfect score so far.
Right. So in a perfect world, you and I know that. So we draw from the spirit. We know ahead of time that, hey, the conflicts don't go well. So let me work on what we call in my field self-soothing, bringing the Holy Spirit into that, slow the engine down, because you talked earlier about cortisol, the amygdala. We've got all different parts of our brain that are firing. So it's about calming that engine a little bit. And then we can get to the truth more quickly, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
So self-soothing matters a lot.
Mm-hmm. What about the histories that are carried on? Like, oh, that's going to go on your permanent record. And that's always going to be brought out from time to time.
Yeah.
How are we doing in that department of letting go of past grievances, accepting apologies, actually letting God change your heart so you don't bring stuff up again and you have no motivation to do it anymore?
Well, the fighter needs to fight fair, I said, and fighting fair does not include bringing the kitchen sink and everything else from the past. The past is called the past because it has passed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the past continues to happen, then we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But if the truth, what's the truth? If the truth is the past pattern has not been happening, then let's celebrate it. We got some good stuff going on. If the truth is the past pattern is continuing, where the man or woman is being interrogative and abusive and hurtful, then, you know, then it isn't about, you know, so then it's about speaking truth about the past and the current.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to forgive the past if the past keeps happening. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it needs to be let go of, and it can't be a part of an argument. We got to stay on what the issue is. And this is what I've noticed so much, and maybe you see this a lot, Bill, but the people that have to win the fight are the people that are the most insecure.
Mm.
You know, the people that have to win versus instead try to have a need to understand each other versus a need to win or a need to run.
Talk about the insecure person a little bit, because that's interesting. Doesn't the insecure person try to make someone else feel insecure? Isn't that kind of the way they operate?
Yeah, so they have a need to win. You know,
okay,
so that makes sense. They're trying to get the other person to see it their way. Whereas if you're confident in your own views and you're content in that, and you say, hey, you know, I feel pretty strongly about this, but tell me what you got. Tell me your thoughts about that.
Doesn't the insecure person often talk about how things that just, they're not good enough? There's always kind of that little mild dissatisfaction.
that what they hear isn't good enough? Or they feel,
yeah, how they feel.
Yeah. Yeah, so you, again, you see the aggressive, insecure person that tends to be more narcissistic, then they a lot of people think, well, narcissists just love themselves. Well, no, if you like your, who you are, you know, like Jesus says, we're supposed to, you know, love your neighbor as what? Self.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like who you are in Christ, then you won't have a need to emotionally win fights and always be right and always win. You'll have a need to have understanding and be a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
So your security will help you do well.
Mm-hmm.
If you're insecure and you're aggressive, then you have to win. If you're insecure and passive, then you're always just avoiding the conflict because it's not going to go well.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just withdraw and they just stay detached and they build up resentment.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the patterns I've seen.
What if I feel like you're not treating me? You're treating me poorly, and that just hurts my feelings. And how can you not recognize that?
Mm-hmm.
So how do I bring this up? And how do you hear me? And then how do you not feel insulted or beat up or whatever?
Yeah.
And now I'm asking for you to treat me nicer. How's that work?
Well, you know, if the person that's saying that has done that like 400 times a day the past 30 years, we got a problem.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
If the truth is it's the person that's generally been give, and, you know, no, guess what? I have needs too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that person needs to find their voice, and they need to speak that truth because they've been not telling the truth for a long time. That's why I always say the flighters, their biggest problem is they're dishonest,
mm-hmm.
not because they're pathological liars, but they're not really speaking their truth this afternoon at 3:30 or tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 when there's a disagreement. You have to speak your truth and say, well, here's how I see it too. And if they don't speak that truth, then they start a little resentment account that builds over time.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to learn how to speak their truth in the moment, irregardless of how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Can that not be a little tiring? I mean, if you were more attentive to me, wouldn't you just see and observe some of the things that I would like?
Yes.
Wouldn't you be more attuned to what my needs might be? Or do I always have to tell you what they are?
Yeah, I don't like that kind. When I have people in a relationship giving each other lists all the time of what to do, I said, stop.
Uh-huh.
You know, this shouldn't be about, well, we got to give each other a list of the 25 things we need from each other.
Yeah.
That's not how we fell in love with each other,
uh-huh.
right? You didn't, you know, your second date, you didn't say, well, here's the 12 things I need, and, you know, how's that work for you?
Yeah.
And, no, you don't. So it's less about giving each other lists. It's more about pursuing each other well.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll come back more with Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina. Nice to have you listening today to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie. We'll be right back.
Oh.
How are we dealing with conflict in our relationships? Do we do it in a nice way, in a godly, loving way? Or does it start as conflict and then turn into combat? Now we're throwing darts and it's getting not pleasant. And then are we keeping track of the victories and are we trying to keep score? And that's not good either. I mean, I'm talking to Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina. Todd, what do we learn from Paul, from what he said about life in prison?
Yeah, he writes in Philippians, right, 4, really verse 4 all the way through 13 is gold. But he talks about there to think about whatever is excellent of praise, whatever is noble, think on those things and put these things into practice and the God of peace will be with you. And then the stuff that I forget about that he says is I've learned the secret of life, whether I'm in plenty or in want, I've learned to be content in all things. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the idea there is, it doesn't mean we should avoid conflicts. It means we should have our voice. We should speak without offending, listen without defending, agree to disagree, own our own part, do the conflicts in life for sure, but to not be defined by them so that we are able to, at the end of our day with our head on the pillow, if the truth is we have a pretty good relationship that struggles with a couple of areas that we're working on, that we're still having conflicts about, but we're working on it, we're not in denial, then we're much better off focusing on the victories. Because otherwise what happens is people continue to ruminate on the one thing and the one thing only.
Mm-hmm.
That they really did work through and maybe agreed to disagree. But again, that's what trauma does to the brain, Bill. People ruminate on the stuff because in their pasts, those little vignettes never got resolved. But now their vignettes get resolved in their new relationship, and it's agreeing to disagree. Maybe I've even built a little bitterness, like the caller said, and I'm going to have my voice. I'm going to try to speak through it. But trust me, people have to eventually run to this idea of 5-to-1, looking at 5 good things for every 1 difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, if we have deal breakers going on in the marriage where there's untreated adultery, untreated addiction,
mm-hmm.
untreated abuse, we have to deal with those things for
mm-hmm.
sure. But in the garden variety conflicts that you and I have talked about today, it's really important for couples to have a plan of how they want to work through their conflicts,
mm-hmm.
but also make sure their minds go to their victories of that day, too.
Okay, I'm writing down plan to work through your conflicts. That's a new idea for probably most listeners.
Right.
Another thing you said, which I want to return to, is own your own part. What if your partner is blinded to their part?
Yeah.
And you can't get them to see it?
Yeah.
Then what?
Call a counselor.
No, well, I mean, a counselor. Give me the answer.
Yeah. So I would say that, again, if the pleaser is with the controller, and a lot of times you see that in marriage. You know, we have the truth of the controller and the grace of the pleaser, the truth and grace of Jesus. And when we opposites attract and then opposites attack. I talk about that all the time. So if the truth is of that couple, that the direct person doesn't know they're running their partner over with a truck every day emotionally in conflicts, then the passive person better bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
And if the bully is not owning their own part, then the passive person needs to say, you know, I'm not keeping score, hon, but I need to see that you are owning your part. And that's why it's so important that both people are in this together. You know, both people have to be the ones that look in the mirror. And that's when marriages just skyrocket and get great, is when both people are working on their side of the street, bring the spirit into it. And then that guy or that woman says, you know what, I don't own my own part. Now, that doesn't happen as often. But what I think the pleaser tends to do is they think, well, if I don't bring it up and if I'm really nice for the next 35 years, then they'll eventually get it. I find that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I find what happens more often is the pleaser type needs to say, I was hurt by this. This bothers me. This can't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they speak truth because they're not used to doing that. They're used to avoiding the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to learn how to do Romans 12:9. Love must be sincere.
Mm-hmm. How do we do conflict resolution if we're in a repair phase of a relationship?
Yeah.
Where there's been a big ticket item,
yep.
big ticket betrayal. Now, all of a sudden, someone needs time to heal.
Yep.
But in the meantime, there's still going to be little daily nuances and things that are going to require conflict management.
Right.
So how do we do those two at the same time? How do we hold those?
Yeah, that's really hard. I mean, again, what's the truth? Is the truth that in recovery, the person who was the addict or the person who was the adulterer or the person that was the abuser, do they have remorse for their part?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And are they giving reassurance that this issue is being dealt with and worked on? If that is true, then in my mind, it's important for the spouse to work on choosing to trust over time and choosing to forgive over time. So if that recovery part is happening, then I think it's okay to have these garden variety conflicts that pop up. What I usually find, though, Bill, is that the recovery stuff's so loud and they're working on triggers and everything that what I try to have the couple do in their non-recovery time is work on building the sandbox a little bit, just a little bit, because otherwise they're in recovery all the time. So the truth is they've done 2 hours of great counseling this week on this very tough stuff. They're not in denial. They're not avoiding it. They've done the hard work. Now let's go out and try to, you know, be kind tonight at this wedding we're going to of a friend or
mm-hmm.
this gathering with other families. We're not faking it because we just got a workout in about
mm-hmm.
the tough stuff. Does that make
mm-hmm.
sense? So
mm-hmm.
we have to then eventually hear Paul's words about thinking whatever is of excellence and of praise too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want people to be in denial of their tough stuff. I just also don't want them to just always dwell on that only.
Okay, give us advice about managing our own anxiety. Let's say, for example, you're coming home from work full of anxiety over a very hard day,
mm.
and what you might want to do is open the door and start venting, and that's all of a sudden you're blowing horns and you're all upset, and now all of a sudden you're setting the stage for additional tension, conflict.
I always say to the couple, make sure, you know, you're both working hard from 7 to 5 or whatever it is, and then you're home together.
3 to 5 for me.
Got it, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, not a bad gig. So,
yeah, if you can get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So on the way home, the anxious person needs to be able to say, and the person who's, you know, if we have one stay-at-home parent, one working parent, or whatever their deal is, they have to come home with the idea of telling each other about each other's day versus coming home and kicking the dog emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what most couples do is they take out their day on each other.
Right.
Versus just saying, man, great day, love to hang out with you. And that, you know what, really tough day. I just want to escape for a couple hours. I love you, but I'm just tanked. And just being real doesn't mean they have to have an hour conversation and read poetry to each other about each other's feelings for 10 hours, but rather just have a brief dialogue about how their days have gone versus taking it out on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what? Then you have the safest place being at home. That's why the best marriages, the best partnerships are ones that evolve into a good, affectionate, caring relationships that model Christ in the good and the bad.
Mm. It's sad if home is not a safe and warm and loving sanctuary that you return to after a hard day of slaying the dragons, you know?
Truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To come home and to feel that as the door opens, there's going to be conflict and combat.
Yeah. That's why it's important to try to know that if it's to have that conversation, hey, we're in this together and we want to make sure our past patterns that we grew up in are being dealt with so that we can heal and create a great generation for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets to be pretty encouraging stuff. So when I encourage couples that do have children to look at, hey, you know, every day you're breathing into your kids some good stuff or tough stuff, not as an issue of guilt or responsibility, but an issue of hope and truth, you know, be encouraged by trying to be at your best for each other.
About a minute left here, Todd, but I want to say I've heard this expression before. If you walk 8 miles into the woods, it's going to take you 8 miles to walk out of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 years of not having good conflict resolution, lots of yelling, lots of combat, how's that going to change?
Right. Yeah, I always say to couples, that, and most people are like that, that's not unusual, it's not bizarre. So what's the truth? The truth is the next 5 conflicts you have, if you've done some good counseling, maybe one or two of them are a lot better than the previous 5,000.
Okay.
But 2 or 3 of them will probably be like the others.
Yeah.
You know, so let's not get, you know, unrealistic about it, but let's again try to be defined by the victory of those 4 versus the 2 that went poorly again. Because we're both in this together. We're both trying to be defined by our victories, not by our defeats.
Mm-hmm.
So it's slow. Most transformation, most healing in my experience is slow and over time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that can be encouraging to people, especially if you've been in a difficult relationship for decades, and all of a sudden you're getting old and time is starting to run out.
Right.
You know, how do you resolve that and go forward? So if there's listeners out there, people that feel that, oh, he's talking about me tonight and I want my marriage to end strong and I want to end strong. Todd, maybe you could pray for those couples.
Mm. Thanks, Lord, for the gift of marriage, and thanks for being who you are, full of grace and full of truth. So, Father, we ask that you would guide folks today that are listening, or if they have a friend who isn't listening that they want to pray for, that they would seek you, yield to you in the Holy Spirit for guidance, for honest words, and for being motivated to be people that are bringing peace to our homes, which include conflicts, which include tough stuff, but that you would guide them and by the power of your Holy Spirit, sprinkle their conversation with truth and grace. In Christ's name, amen.
So be gentle tonight. Love each other tonight and maybe ask for forgiveness. Maybe say those words, I am sorry, if they need to be said. And know that God loves you and God is in the middle of your relationship. So thank you for listening today to Live the Promise. I've been talking to Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina. And we'll probably put that all up on the webpage. If you want to go to myfaithradio.com, go to Live the Promise show page. You can get all that information. And if you want to listen to this again or send the podcast on to a friend or a natural-born enemy, you can do that as well. That wraps up our time today. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Good night, everyone.